Hey, good afternoon, world. Wesley Pepper here. This is my podcast, Wesley Pepper's Art Lexia. And in today's episode, I'm talking to X Collective from Cape Town. They're an anonymous art collective, street art collective, that does some really cool work, man. And they have a bit of a reputation and so forth, but we're not going to be concentrating on that today, man. I'm hoping to talk to them about their processes. So we're going to focus on sort of what ideology drove their art, or did their art drive the ideology, or so forth. Or we're going to try to explore that and see who was the influences, who drove them to become, or rather, what they represent. And we're going to look at their processes, why they, you know, how they do other work on the streets. And then they boast of all their politics, man. So they're based in Cape Town, and their work is incredibly fused with contemporary politics. And I'm hoping to talk a lot about that. And, you know, given that it's all, as with all the artists I'm featuring, you know, this whole pandemic is becoming, and I know on my side personally, it's also becoming really complicated. And there's just so many question marks in terms of what we can or can't do and so forth and so forth. And I'm also hopefully we'll talk about all of that. And I want to talk about the next, I also rather want to preview the next episode 13. I'm going to be talking to a very cool collective. I featured them before, Tabo and Molefe. I'm going to be talking to them about their coming art show. So yeah, man, a lot of cool stuff coming forth. A lot of cool stuff that coming up. Sorry, cool stuff coming up. And you can follow everybody. You can follow me on all the platforms, man. So check out Spotify, check out iTunes, and there's Candace's blog, and then there's my website too. And the hits have been growing. And all the comments and the interaction has really been growing. I'm really appreciative of that. And it shows me the content is relevant, and that's pretty exciting. And that makes today's episode even more exciting. You know, I'm really looking forward to talking to X Collective. There will also be something a bit different to my other episodes. So we'll have this type of voice mask on their voices. You know, because they want to keep their anonymity, and I can respect that. And I'll also be calling them out. Or rather, I won't be calling them out on their first names. I'll be calling them out on C or X. So yeah, I hope I don't get too tongue-tied, you know. but I'm really looking forward to it. So thank you for tuning in, man. And check out the podcast on all those platforms. And keep tuning in, man. Thank you.
Yeah, man. So just to recap, we were talking about the before, post-COVID, like, type of thingy. And I think C was coming in.
Yeah, I was saying that, you know, but in another way, you know, what has changed?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, obviously, I'm talking about for us now, you know.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
As opposed to other artists who work in galleries and things like that. I think for us, you know, it's purely that, you know, the inability to meet physically and to go around at night and get up to nonsense, you know, wheat paste or stencil or whatever. It's become harder with the curfew, you know.
Yeah.
So we haven't done any of that type of thing. Since already, you know, it's been harder to do that because in certain areas there's more security, there's in the improvement districts, there's private security riding around, and then they know about the stuff, you know what I mean? They don't seem to mind gangster graffiti that can stay on the wall. Not what we do. Yeah, so I think for us that's been the essential impact or effect on us. Yeah, but other than that, you know, I mean, the pandemic, I think it's just highlighted the inequalities,
big, you know,
and how within a capitalist system, you know, your most essential people who provide services like teachers, like healthcare workers, etc., are totally disregarded, you know. They can just die, you know, as long as, you know, profits can be made. So it's just brought that home in a very stark way.
Yeah,
I mean, so I'm saying, I mean, that's always been like that, you know. I mean, that's not no different.
You want to come in?
Yes.
I mean, I don't really much to add to that. I think everybody's trying to, like, the gallery spaces, it's kind of a weird place because, like, the gallery spaces are trying to go online and do, like, a whole virtual thing. And like you were saying, like, the earlier one with the National Gallery. But I think they're flipping and flopping, like, you know, with the collective, everything has really gone online previously. Although we're not doing stuff on the, you know, in the physical spaces, we're still talking about various. Actually, the various projects haven't really ended because we just connect.
That process is heavy disruptive, and that type of thing was with the other because with the other guys that I've interviewed and so forth. Like, it's just really interesting how they sort of balancing the two, man. So I cannot understand. Where you guys are coming from and like the fact that there's no work. I should have actually thought of that because it makes sense. Yeah. But anyway, I was gonna make a point that the work was at that sort of viral campaign aesthetic, if there's such a thing. Now people are eating that up, man. And I've noted the social medias, people are trying to be outlandish. And I don't know, all these gimmicks and all that stuff. So, you know, now that, yeah, anyway, it's not like I'm telling. Anyway, that was just a thought, man. I wanted to move on to tech, man. Like, this is another thing I've also been talking to guys about. And given your politics, before we sort of move into the politics space, and I want to talk about how the politics of Cape Town has affected the art specifically, because I haven't seen a lot of that in Joburg, or at least, yeah, but like, there's not such a direct, I don't know, man. If you attack somebody there, it's usually the institution. It's very seldomly a specific person. But before we get to that, like, just about the tech, are you as a collective gonna how can I put it to you, embrace the technology? Or, and when I talk about technology, I'm meaning like 5G, the fact that Facebook is fucking watching every single thing you do. Like this whole data harvesting thing, and but I think that's just one side of tech technology, because now to do stuff on the walls and to do street, yeah, sure, you're gonna mess up the Cape Town laws, but it's also your health. I mean, like, I personally now know of 5 people who's since passed on. And a friend of mine is still on and off with this whole virus. So it's really becoming all like very abstract for me. So, yeah. So what is your future like relationship with tech? Or are you going to step back, or, you know?
Look, it's a difficult.
Well,
it's because, you know, on the one hand, you have any technology, you know, technology is like a knife. You can use it to eat or you could kill someone.
Sure.
You know, that it's on its own, it's neutral, but I mean, it's becoming very weaponized. Like the examples you gave, you know, like these surveillance technologies, and Facebook and others are using these kinds of things as a means of capturing data. And ultimately, it's the intention is for social control. So for now, I mean, we use it because look, it is a means of transmission.
Yeah,
where we can share, but I don't know where this is going yet, you know, and whether at some point, you know, we need to make a call, because there aren't, unfortunately, alternative safe spaces.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, yet, you know,
yeah.
There's been people have There's been a chat and attempts to build alternatives like to Facebook and what, but so far it hasn't really taken root. So, so it's still an open question.
Yeah, I get you.
We haven't made any decisions on things like that, you know.
Personally, I'm not too worried about that kind of stuff because I know what my modus operandi is, like, not what I'm trying to do and whether I'm always looking for the loophole, you know, if you could put it that.
Yeah.
Nothing more. So there's always somewhere there is another dissident. Like, you just have to sort of find them and then use. Yeah. And usually I find people that are like-minded, they kind of gravitate towards one another. Like, you know, you'll find the email server that you can use that will protect your privacy. You'll find a browser, they are places, you know, you gotta look for them.
No, I mean, I just think that, you know, at some point, you don't know where this is going. It's already problematic, you know, and now, I mean, you can't even tell, you know, how you find out later that they found this out and got that and all this kind of stuff. But yeah, I at the moment, I mean, there aren't alternatives. And I think, like what X said, it is also about using these, like Facebook, for example, also to subvert, you know, subvert it as well. The problem with that, you can get blocked, you know, things like that. And we've already, I mean, you know, we did something where the Burning Museum, not the Burning, Burning Man, you know, the... Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
where they actually, they had our stuff taken off, you know, off WordPress and off Facebook. And we kept tweaking it. But we ended up like saying something about censorship on that same image that they had taken down. And they couldn't take that last one down, you know. So we kept fighting back. We weren't going to give up, you know. Because, I mean, they're very powerful, you know.
Yeah.
So Facebook, I mean, that's what Facebook does, you know. And somebody just needs to lodge a complaint and off you go, you know.
Yeah, it's becoming really, and that actually is an interesting point to sort of lead into where I want to come in here, because I agree with you. I've been attacked viciously on Twitter in the past however long for one saying something to do with Black history and one for being negative towards that fucking capitalist Elon Musk. And like, they came down on me hardcore. I got cool. But fortunately, like, yeah, that's another, it's hard. Like, it's just like this. If you go against somebody, there's no middle ground anymore. And like, that's just interesting because I think politics is the same, works in a similar fashion. And these fucking idiots are becoming, are unfortunately also growing with it because they have access to it, of course. So they are adapting their politics around that. I've seen something, when was this? This was still in level 4, so it could have been about 2 months ago. There was it looked like a hardcore concentration camp. I don't remember where in Cape Town it was. But it looked hardcore, man. So they were basically sweeping up all the homeless people because they say they want to, you know, catch the virus. And they took them. So these guys are all addicts. And I mean, they've got social, I don't know how you could come up with something like that. But they put them all in this sort of dumping ground. And then the cameras came in because this I watched on an international news thingy. And then the cameras came in and they were interviewing and these people wanted their fix. But, you know, I thought it was really poor fucking editing because it was making them look as if, you know, there was so much wrong with that. So I sort of see the necessity for artists to not just fight, but to be very critical about their institutions, which seems to be worse in Cape Town. So like, how does that politics affect your work I think you get what I'm saying. I don't think I want to say too much because it sounds like I'm preaching.
Can I jump in there just
yeah, as a brief, as a brief.
Yeah. Like, I think what you're talking about initially was about the homeless camp in Strand, if I'm not mistaken.
Could be. I don't remember the name, but yeah, it could be. It could be.
It's in Strand.
Yeah. So we initially worked on a piece on that where we found a very touristy music piece that we subverted, speaking about the homeless issue and connecting it also to that concept, that idea of those concentration camps. Isolated incidents. I mean, it's been going on for ages. It's just like a thing that came to a head. Like they saw the opportunity on how to get to do this, to set up our camp, to actually get. I mean, we had Volva, Rafir, what is the other one? Help me out there, see.
Lucky Star.
The politics of Cape Town is not, I mean, the pandemic it's just highlighted really the issues that have been already under the skin of the country.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
In northern suburbs, the southern suburbs, you'll see it everywhere, you know?
Sure.
So, yeah, anyway, that's my
key. Sure. You are to come in next.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's much to add, you know. I mean, what X was saying is that the city of Cape Town has been trying this in different ways for a long, long time. You know, way back there was an attempt to build something similar for homeless. And the reason for that is that they want them out of certain areas.
Mm.
They actually don't care if they out on the Cape Flats amongst the poor, but they don't want them in the more affluent parts of the city. And these are your old white areas,
sure.
You know. So along the Atlantic beachfront, for example, you know, where Clifton and, sure. You know, those fancy sure. areas, they don't want them there. So what they did was they tried to first, in this attempt, they tried to first build a shelter just outside Cape Town, outside of the central business district,
sure.
But still very much in town.
Sure.
People took offense to that. So then they went off to way off near one of the coastal little areas called Strandfontein that's not white, you know, it's mm-hmm. still largely
yeah, I've still
loved in Strandfontein. You know. And there the people were offended for different reasons. You know, some just didn't either want them there, but many others just felt that inhumane.
Mm.
You know, like you said, Wesley, these are people with problems, you know, and some just, you know, for varied reasons, people end up on the street.
Yeah.
They were all just lumped there. the conditions were not ideal. There was no social distance. You know? So this nonsense of we're doing it because we care. Exactly. It's about trying to get them out, you know. And so what X was talking about was our attempt to try to work with the material, you know, that we found online, you know. Mm-hmm. And what we did was we made this clip using this Welcome to Cape Town song that's very happy.
Check that one.
You know the song.
Actual
photos that people that from the media and individuals had taken of the actual camp, but we also spliced inside of it images from the Nazi concentration camps.
Okay.
Because we likened it very much to that.
Yeah.
And that's very much a project that one of our projects that we're working on at the moment.
Yeah.
You know, looking at how similar, you know, the labeling of people, very much like what the Nazis did, you know, they put you into a category, you're a Jew, you're a gypsy, whatever, and then you wore a badge. So, you know, I mean, this stuff, like what you're talking about, the policing and the profiling of people, if you were a black man or if you were a homeless person, you are criminalized. You know, I mean, if you look at the U.S., what's happening there, it's not any different here.
Yeah.
You know, if you're walking around at night as a black man, I mean, black in the broad sense, you know, you can very easily be stopped by the cops, ask what you're doing here, even locked up. Mm. You know what I mean? So this policing, you know, I mean, and I think that's also part, we try to link it, you know, to what happened in Nazi Germany, you know, and how that ended, and this criminalization of people purely because they are black and poor, you know. So that's an ongoing, so that forms, I think, you know, the usage of this Nazi era images, that forms part of that. One of the other images that we put up was one where a photograph of homeless people. And X developed the logo, if you want to call it that. So play on the, you know, the yellow triangle.
Yeah.
That was used in the concentration camps. Instead of a yellow triangle, it's like a little house shape, you know, with an X running through it.
Yeah.
You know, so because that's what's happening to the to homeless people, they being you know, targeted, they've been labeled, and because what they also did was they had these people when they got them into the Southern camp, they actually took down their whatever information they could get from them, their names, where they're from. So there's all that type of thing that's happening as well. So even so, now those people have left and they wherever they are, the city has that. So I mean, I think you're right. Like Cape Town is in many ways a lot more hardcore, you know, than other cities.
In Joburg, the movement, because you know, as a street artist, I mean, I've only worked really active in that space for maybe 5 years or so, maybe a bit more. So that type of physical movement on the street is a lot more open, even in a bullshit area like Maboneng. Well, now they're becoming a bit more, I don't know now because of COVID, probably even more, but more and more of the walls are becoming, because it's growing, so they're privatizing all this bullshit new graffiti. But like up until about a few years ago, you could, more on the outskirts, and it was cool. I mean, obviously it wasn't cool, but like, I mean, I've seen cops like just drive past and like not worry, you know, and as this sort of like physical, like you have to look and sound a certain way, you know, and not to draw a comparison between the two cities because they all messed up. I mean, it's super messed up in Joburg as well. But like, I've always noticed that a strong money, and you look at it like with the sport, you see it with another sport when they, this from sporting front and everything from the movie entertainment, whenever it's movies on colored people, it's always the townships, always gangsterism, it's always that type of shit. But when it's all whitey, it's, you know, the Winelands and the fucking Chapman speak and so forth. So, I mean, yeah, I agree. That thing has been coming on. And, like, just sort of to come in sort of a closing point, like, what I've picked up with these Black Lives Matter people is one reason why the movement has moved out so quickly is because the whole world was just shoved, because for what about at least a month this year that the whole world was sort of under shutdown. We could all, there was no sport, there was no anything. We could all just watch the news or Netflix. So that's why, because people's attention spans were like zoomed in, and that's why this thing spread. That is one reason. I mean, things are, Africa is different, and you know, we layered and so on and so on. But like, I think now in terms of that activist space, it's ripe, man. It's ripe because, yes, man, we've just across my parents' house here, there's illegal land settlement. People just gonna come put up shacks here, and I've been fighting that. That's another heavy, stressful story. But I've noticed now, like, sort of that activist, that's good activist fodder, man. So, yeah, man, so move at least there. That's how I see it. So moving forward, man, like your, this project that you're working on, where can we get hold of it? And what else is, or rather, how else are you going to be adapting or moving with this new reality that we are facing with?
Look, I think, like, with this project, look, we're still working on it.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, like, we also have other, we have jobs, unfortunately. it's usually when we're in between jobs that I find the time. Yeah. And that's when I'm not making money, I'm at my most happiest. Anyway, because then I can be doing this stuff, you know. there's a very practical reason, I think, sometimes why things slow up, you know, when you're caught up. And, you know, being self-employed, I do go through periods when I'm a lot more busier than
I am.
But also, like, look, you know, when you work in a collective, that's not you working on your own. You know, you're working with others. So, and, you know, those processes are often slower. You have to send it, email it, get feedback, share, talk, you know, and the more people coming in, then there's often more talking that happens, you know.
Yeah.
But that's also like what X said, I mean, that's also part of the process. That's also quite rich in itself, you know, that type of so that's not, I mean, it's not even for me. I often don't see it as work. I mean, this is not work, you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, exactly.
I know, you know, work is not a bad, you know, like, it's not a bad.
It does.
I mean, we should be doing what we enjoy, you know, and work should be part of that. So I think, like, this is how we work. You see, we sometimes work on more than one thing.
Sure.
So it's not like we put something up, especially like now with this one where we're looking at the city.
Sure.
And using drawing, looking and making connections between, you know, the Nazi era and that stuff. We're still refining, but we have, you know, like, put up some stuff already.
Yeah.
But there's more that we still, amongst other projects, because
For sure. We
with the pandemic, I mean, there's stuff that we started, but they still have relevance, in spite of the pandemic hasn't shifted.
Yeah, like, JP Smith, like, he's living. This is he's in his element now, man. He can be, you know, like, I think, like, if there's one guy that qualifies for COVID-19, it's probably him, you know, amongst others, because he's hardcore. I hope he doesn't tune into this podcast. But there's, like, I don't want to sound like a cynic, but, like, there are certain gatekeepers that has been catching the virus. Amen.
Like you asked previously, where can people find these things? Mostly it's on the Facebook. I mean, most people will gravitate towards the Facebook page, but there is a WordPress blog. And the work has various aspects to it, so like this project or campaign, and this little film that we made And but then it also has like the other little design elements, there's photographs, there's posters and stuff. So you so there's a lot of stuff that kind of connects in some kind of way, and people can use and disseminate and stuff. So that's what also nice about projects. Like it started with like a seed, and the seed will grow into a tree, and various fruits will develop. I can use that analogy.
Yeah, because what we're doing is we're trying to we're looking at design.
Yeah,
and at design, you know, we often think of design as being something positive, you know. Yeah. But design can also be used for nefarious ends. And I'm thinking, I don't know if you remember, a few years ago in Cape Town, they had this, the city, world-class city, what was it called? Remember, World Design Capital?
Oh, yes. Yeah, it was, five, yeah, I remember it well.
So Cape Town, you remember Cape Town won the award?
Yeah, right? I remember that.
There was a whole lot of projects, you know, like how do you design a better city and all that stuff. And a lot of the stuff, you know, certain people get money, they do stuff, and it comes to absolutely zero, you know. But you'll see, like, you know, that logo went on to businesses, they put this yellow, bright yellow logo. But I mean, we're looking at, you know, like how this idea, you know, design is a good thing. But it was all about making money, about making a profit. It wasn't about really changing the look of Cape Town, looking at the class and the inequalities really in the city. It wasn't really about that. But there was a spin that it was doing that. But it didn't happen, you know. And so we looked at like the Nazi area, you know. I mean, a uniform. If it's whatever rank you are, there were different uniforms, right? Sure. And those things were designed. They had to be designed. Somebody to sit and draw these things. Those different colored triangles for the gays, they were the pink.
Yeah.
For the gyps, there was another color. For the Jews, there was the yellow star. Those things were all drawn.
By an artist.
The Nazi symbol had to be designed and drawn.
Yeah.
The concentration camp had to be designed and mapped out and drawn. You know, so I mean, if you look at that, all that stuff, the other symbols, the flags, whatever that they needed, these things need artists, designers, and people like that.
No, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah, so that's what we're looking at. All the stuff that you see, you look at the, you know, the gas masks, the visors.
Yeah.
They look scary. They look like transformers. You know.
That's.
The design of those uniforms that cops wear today, it's designed to intimidate and to scare. We started to think about, and that's, so we do a lot of talking, we do
that's
drawing
fucking
and talking.
Cool, man.
So it's a kind of process before we get the stuff sometimes out there, you know.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's fucking cool, man. Any closing words? Because I will have a link to all your social media pages now. So the thing is, so people are able to find it pretty easy. So there's no need to we'll have that. But is there any closing words, man? Firstly, thanks a lot. Sorry. That was really cool.
I find it really interesting to work like this. And I think it's a pity that there aren't more artists doing this type of thing, like, you know, and connecting with us in some kind of way. I mean, there have been people that have looked up to us and said, like, can we use this and stuff? And that's really cool. But I think there is still what I would hope, because of the stress on our society, sociopolitically, that more people be doing this type and connecting with each other, and collaborating.
Yeah.
So that would be my piece.
I agree. I mean, I think that we are hoping, because I know we did make attempts to to bring more artists in. And sometimes they come and then they leave, you know, that type of thing. But I mean, we try to hook up. It's essential that artists also connect to communities, you know, that type of thing. The collaboration is not only just between, you know, within the collective, but it's about working outside with others. So just to finish, we currently work on a project with that you, Wesley, you also are aware of it, on the education crisis in Cape Town, but also, also that, looking specifically at private school issue at the moment, you know, and for the abolishment of private schools. So that's a project that we're working with.
That's fucking cool, man.
Organization at the moment, you know.
That's really cool.
In closing, I see this time is running out here. But this was lekker, man. This was great, man. Shot, man. I'm not gonna call no names. This was X Collective. But shot, Owens, man. This was before, man. Thanks for your time and everything, man. Salute.
Okay. Cheers. Bye.
Cheers.